Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, the host, and I'd like to invite you to stay tuned, at least for the next 30 minutes, because this show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, education, but the key thing is there is no manipulation. That's right. No one's trying to coerce you into joining anything. No one's asking you for any money. All we have to offer is information, true, true information, not useless speculation, but information related to the Bible, the Word of God, the plan of God, hopefully that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, you always have the freedom and the privacy to do that. Compliments of the great United States of America. We're a free nation today. Wonderful men, wonderful women gave their life to purchase our freedom. And we are free to worship as we want to, free to choose what we want to believe. And hopefully I can give you some information today that will help you understand God's marvelous plan for your life. If you've listened to The Flatline before, you know that this show is about teaching the Word of God. What I'm trying to do is give enough information that would stimulate your enthusiasm and your interest. And I'm always looking for pivot potential. Pivot potential, you say, what is that? I believe the pivot is that core group of individuals that are in the nation, that make up the sustaining force of the nation. Those men and women who put their spiritual life first. Not the type of people that are obnoxious, not the type of people that run around with a big Bible beating everybody on the head, but the silent, quiet, spiritual professional who places his relationship with God primary number one, who's occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, and who's interested in taking God's Word on a daily basis and learning it and applying it into his life. And as he grows to spiritual maturity, he forms the pivot. He's part of that core group of mature believers that God uses to sustain a nation, to deliver a nation. And I am looking always for that. All of my ministry during the past years that I've been involved in this, I'm always looking for that one person. Who is it that's going to say, I've never heard anything like this before? Where can I get more information like this? Or someone who says, you know, I've just accepted Christ and I want to grow, I want to learn, and where can I get it? Because there are resources available. There's information available from me and from other qualified men who have tremendous churches that will give you the information free of charge. They won't sell you anything. They will give you the Word of God. And all it takes on your part is some time. Time every day to sit down in privacy and to sit down in quiet time and open your Bible and be fed. And then once you're fed, you must metabolize what you learn. You must apply it into your life. But I'm looking for that potential pivot member, and I pray you are that person. I pray you are the one that would write and say, give me more. How do I learn more? How do I grow to be a spiritually mature believer? How do I learn the Word of God every day in my life? And when I see it, it's exciting to see it. When I see people that get hungry for the Word of God and grow for the Word of God, it's exciting to see that on this radio show. And so I hope that you will contact me and say, hey, how can I learn more of this? So anyhow, I hope you'll stay tuned, and I hope you'll keep listening. Today we want to talk about something very, very important. I want to take you to a verse of Scripture in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And this is what the Bible says. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Now what this is what we call in the Greek New Testament an a fortiori. I know it's a big word, but let me explain it to you. The greatest thing God could have ever done for you is to save you. It took more planning and more energy to save you, more provision to save you, than it does to provide for your daily needs. So the a fortiori is this, if God could save you, and he could, and he can, and maybe he has, then supplying your daily needs, they're nothing. It's easy, because the hardest work has already been done. So when this verse says, and here is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to put on your body. And then he goes on to say, is not life more than food? And is not the body more than clothing? And now he uses an analogy of a bird. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, and they don't reap. And by the way, birds are not under the curse of the ground like man is. Man is required to sow and to reap to eat his food because of the sin of Adam. You can go back and read it in Genesis in the third chapter and see the conditions that God put on man when he sinned. Now, prior to that, he didn't have to do anything but just eat. It was all provided. Anyhow, Jesus said, these birds don't sow and they don't reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, are you not more valuable than one of these little birds? And which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? And then he goes on to give an analogy about the flowers in the field. Listen to what he says. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And they don't toil, and they don't spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. Now if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and then tomorrow is cut down and thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Verse 31, Matthew chapter 6, listen carefully. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things the Gentiles seek after, that's unbelievers. And if you are a believer, you don't have to worry about it. Listen, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So take no thought about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take thought about the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil of tomorrow. The way the NIV, the New International Version, puts it is this way. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Now, when our Lord in Matthew 6:25 says, take no thought, it's important that you understand in the original writings of the Greek New Testament, this is what we call an imperative mood in the Greek. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of imperatives here. Take no thought and seek ye first. Both of these are not requests, they are commands. This is not a request from Jesus, this is a command. Take no thought. Present active imperative of Mary Na'o, Mary Mana'o, Mary M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O, Mary Mana'o is the Greek word. Translated, do not think, take no thought. It means don't be anxious, don't be troubled, don't worry. Take no thought about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, etc. And then the second thing the Lord says in Matthew 6:33 is seek ye first. There's another imperative mood of zeteo. Z-E-T-E-O, zeteo. It's an imperative mood. So the Lord says you are not to worry about your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or wear, and secondly, you are to seek first God's will for your life. Now, these verses present a matter of priority in the life of any person. You know, food, shelter, and clothing are all necessary to sustain life, but only the physical, not the spiritual. You know, there are two lives in there. You have a physical life that everybody can see. Maybe like me, you're a little heavy, or maybe you're a little thin. Maybe you're tall, maybe you're short. People can see that. They cannot see the invisible part of you, that's your soul. That's where the spiritual life takes place. So this verse is making it a matter of priority in the life of any person to grow spiritually first, to take care of the spiritual, and the Father, your heavenly Father, will take care of the physical. Notice what our Lord said. Let me show you a couple of times where he uses this. In Matthew 4:4, when he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, you may remember that the devil tried to get him to turn a rock into bread and eat. And concerning food for the physical body, this is what our Lord said. Quote, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, spiritual food is required even more than physical food. And so the concept is, if you don't feed your soul, then it will not make any difference what you feed your body, because you won't grow spiritually. So get this down. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you have a choice of two things, the bread and that which comes from the bakery, or the word and that which comes from God. And what the Lord told Satan is, what comes from God is more important than what comes from the bakery. And I'm telling you that if you don't feed your soul, it will not matter what you feed your body. And I'm telling you that the Lord says the emphasis should always be on spiritual growth, not on physical growth. And most of us have it backwards. See, we worry about getting the vitamins for our children, and we've got to get on a good, nutritious program. Take your vitamins, honey. Exercise every day, honey. We got to stay in shape and got to look good, honey. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, that's fine. But the Bible says this in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of the life that is to come. So, yeah, you may stay in shape, and you may look good, and you may have a six-pack on your stomach there. That's not a six-pack of beer. That's the muscle down there. You may have all the good looks so that you can wear the tight bathing suits and no T-shirt and have the tan. You're going to die like everybody else. Your body's going to go back to dust, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And you may strut around for a few years and be impressed with how you look, but what is more important is, what does your soul look like? Are you still a baby in your soul? Spiritually speaking, have you grown to be a mature believer? Do you have muscles on your soul? I mean, millions and millions of dollars are spent trying to improve the body, trying to improve the physical life, get a facelift, get a tummy tuck, work out, run. Millions of dollars, and it's a big, big industry. Just go by some of the sporting goods stores and you can see it. But little time is spent investing in learning God's Word, which is where the real treasure is found. Matthew 6:19 says it this way, do not lay up for yourself treasure on the earth, where moth and rust corrupts, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So the priority, again, is on the spiritual treasure, the invisible part of you, growing to be a mature believer, being the representation of Christ in your church and in your community. That's where the emphasis is on. Let's try to break this down a little bit further for you. I don't want to use words that don't make sense here. You have a physical body, and you, if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual life. The spiritual life is in the physical body. It's inside the physical body in the compartment called the soul. The soul is invisible, but inside the soul there's a spirit, and it is the Spirit of God that indwells your human spirit, and this is where you have fellowship with God, because the Bible says, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when you are born physically into this world, you are born spiritually dead. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is to be made spiritually alive. And the only way you can be made spiritually alive is to be born a second time. And this is what Nicodemus did not understand in John chapter 3, when he asked Christ, should he go back inside his mother's womb and have a second birth. And the Lord said, no, that's ridiculous. And he said, it's a spiritual birth. When you believe in Jesus Christ, when you receive him as your Savior, you have a spiritual birth. And what's happening is that your human spirit that was dead because of the imputation of Adam's original sin to you, that human spirit is indwelled by the Holy Spirit and made alive. And now you have a spiritual birth, and you have an invisible spiritual life inside your body. So you have a physical life. Your mother and father created you, but only God can give you the soul, and only God can give you a spiritual life. So inside of your body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit if you're a Christian. And that spiritual life uses what's in the soul, in the mentality of the soul. As you learn God's word and as you apply God's word into your life, you get smarter and you grow spiritually. You begin to understand the protocol plan of God. You begin to see how it works. And you're not easily manipulated and conned by preachers that would prey on you and try to suck your money out of you and try to get you to adhere to some legalistic system of spirituality that has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. So, you want to grow up? You want to be that sort of person? Then get into the Word of God. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Let rebound work for you. That's problem-solving device number one. You know you're going to sin. You know that. And when you sin, you rebound, which means you use 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Since you are a believer priest, you don't have to go to a priest to confess your sin. You can go straight to the throne room of God, and you can name your sin to God, and he will forgive you. He will cleanse you. And this will restore your spiritual life to working order. But when you sin, when you break fellowship with God because of your sin, then you quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit, and your spiritual life gets a flat tire. It just stops. It's not going anywhere. And you resume your spiritual momentum. You resume the spiritual life when you rebound. That doesn't mean you're not going to be saved. That doesn't mean you're not going to heaven if you sin. It means you're breaking fellowship with God. It doesn't mean you're out of your relationship with God. That's the everlasting thing. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall anybody ever take them out of my Father's hand. Now listen to what our Lord said about water. You heard what he just said about bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone. What did he say about water? Remember this analogy in Matthew 6 is about food, shelter, and clothing. Here's what he said about water. He's speaking to the woman at the well in John 4:14. And he said, whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be a well inside of him. It will be a well inside of him, springing up into everlasting life. You want to have the right kind of water? Then drink what the Lord gives. Refresh yourself with the Word of God. Now listen to what our Lord says about shelter, having a place to lay your head. In Matthew 8:20, Jesus had encouraged the disciples to get in a boat with him to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee because of a huge crowd that was pressing in on them. And one of the disciples said, I'll go if you intend to go, but he implied that Jesus would never leave a crowd like that. Here's what the Lord said. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere to lay his head. Now, why did he say that? Well, here's why. Because the spiritual life is much easier to maintain than the physical life. It's easier to maintain. The physical life requires some shelter and some food and some clothing, but the spiritual life requires the Word of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. There's two things you need. You need to let the Holy Spirit control you and fill you by means of rebound, and then you need to study the Word of God and apply it. When you do those two things, you're fulfilling the mandate to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So your spiritual life is the key to the success in your physical life. Your spiritual life has eternal benefits, but your physical life will only wear out. I was talking with someone today, and they were telling me how tired they were of suffering, how miserable they were, and how they had been sick for a couple of years. And then I thought to myself, are we getting blessing, or are we having discipline? Suffering usually comes for one of two reasons, either discipline or blessing. Are you in fellowship? Have you been growing in grace, or is God trying to get your attention? I said to this person. What about you that are listening to me today? Are you going through a lot of difficulties in your life? Are you having some suffering issues in your life? Is God punishing you, or is He blessing you? You know, when we get out of fellowship and stay out of fellowship, sometimes God takes us to the woodshed. I've been there. I don't want to go back again. I've been there. I've had Him paddle me many times in my life for my disobedience and my own rebellion. Are you in rebellion now? Are you being disobedient to your Father who says that you are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have you stunted your spiritual life? Or have you ignored the Word of God and just put your Bible on the table? Do you even have a pastor that teaches you God's Word? Or are you involved in some kind of ritual without reality at your church? Are you growing spiritually? I'm asking you the question. Are you growing spiritually at your church? Are they feeding you? Not food, not Wednesday night food, but are they feeding you the Word of God? Are you taking a Bible and a notebook and writing notes and going home and studying your notes and applying that into your life? Do you see yourself advancing in the plan of God? Do you know your spiritual life is the answer to our national life? Your spiritual life is the answer to our national life. The answer to what's going on in America today as we slide into socialism, as we slide into bankruptcy, as we slide into military defeat, if we're not careful, we are facing a crossroads in the history of this nation. And you want to know what the answer is? It's not who we elect as president or not to be president. It's not who gets elected in the next election and who controls the House and the Senate. It's you. You. You're the answer. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's you, if my people who are called by my name, that's you, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayer, and then I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. Would you say America needs a healing today? It does. And you are the one that can induce the healing. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the destiny of your great nation. Now, I want to give you some concepts on happiness. I want to talk to you about, are you really happy? Are you understanding biblical happiness in your life? Think about this. Because as you grow spiritually, the capacity to enjoy life will increase. Your cup will overflow, as David said, my cup runneth over. Your spiritual life is kind of like an invisible glass. And the more capacity you have, the more God will pour into it, until eventually it'll overflow and bless those around you. And that's called blessing by association. But the Bible says in Proverbs 3:13, happiness belongs to the man that finds wisdom and to the one who gets understanding. In Proverbs 2:2, incline your ear to wisdom and apply to thy heart understanding. Now, in order to have wisdom, you've got to have some understanding. And in Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, God says through the prophet Jeremiah that He's looking for people that know Him and understand Him. God wants you to understand His plan. God wants you to understand how it works. You know, if you're in an athletic competition, you can't make the rules up as you go along. If you're out of bounds, you're out of bounds. If you're playing basketball and you double dribble, then you double dribble. You can't make the rules up in the Christian life either, but a lot of people try. A lot of people try to do it their way, and it doesn't honor God. God does not accept it. It winds up being wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ, and we be burned up in its non-rewardable human good effort. God has a plan. If you don't understand that plan, if you don't function and live by that plan, then you're going to do the right things, but in the wrong way. And right thing and done in the wrong way is still going to be wrong. So you must come to have some wisdom that comes from understanding how the plan of God works. First things you've got to understand is never confuse happiness as taught in the Bible with the details of life. Because those details of life can be enjoyable for the moment, but they will have no ability to carry you in your daily conflict, in your daily routine. The happiness that the Bible talks about is the happiness that's related to your soul, to the immaterial part of you. But you know what can make you unhappy? What can make you unhappy may be doing it right now today, and it's called bitterness. It is the fuel that accelerates unhappiness. Hebrews 12 says this in verses 12 through 15. Lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed, and follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, and lest the root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and by it many will be defiled. Bitterness can defile you. The word for defile, meino in the Greek, is not a very nice word. It means what's in the toilet. It means what's in the bedpan. It is a pollution. It's waste. And what the Bible is saying is bitterness will cause you to be polluted, cause you to stink like a sewer. The Bible says there is perfect happiness related to the grace policy of God in Psalm 31:7. I will rejoice and be happy in the provisions of thy grace. What an amazing thing. You can live a polluted, miserable life in a miserable state of affairs, trying to recruit other people while you complain and you try to make them just as miserable as you are. Or you can live a wonderful life based on the capacity, blessings that God will give you. You know, God could give you a lot of things, but there's no capacity to handle it. Why would he give it to you? It would only destroy you. There's got to be capacity first. So you cannot have happiness until you have some understanding and some wisdom and develop the capacity to do exactly what Paul said. I've learned whether I have a lot or whether I have a little doesn't make any difference, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. There's a man who has capacity. There's a man who will not be distracted by the details in life. Are you? Are you that kind of man? Are you that kind of lady? Do you have that kind of capacity? Has what I said today rang true in your life? I hope it has. I hope it's challenged you. And I hope you'll contact me for more information. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Flotline, saying thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to The Flotline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.